I hope you listen closely to the last words of that song. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. How many of us can say that we're doing that today? I hope that each of us, as the Lord leads us to do so. Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from Luke, the 6th chapter, and three verses we're going to look at. It's four, verses 46 through 49. I'm sure for a lot of us, these are verses that we've heard before. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like the one who had built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. The word of God for the people of God. I'm not going to give you a big, long sermon on this passage this morning. I'm going to share a few brief thoughts because we're doing something a little different. The wise and the foolish builder, what's the difference between the two? They both hear the word of God, yet one of them listens and takes it into their heart and receives it and puts it into practice, and the other doesn't. That's the difference. You know, every Sunday you hear a message from either myself or Brother Paul. And we look through the scriptures and we share what God has laid on our hearts. And we want to make sure that we're offering you words of hope and encouragement and of life and of purpose. But at the end of the day, if all you ever do is hear them and don't apply a bit of it, have you truly received it? Have you truly come to be the one who Jesus said, "Here's my words," and then acts on them? We just finished up a sermon series called Giving Up, in which we looked at seven things that God is calling us to give up as we seek to have a closer relationship with Him. And this morning, you are going to hear from three people who are going to share testimonies how the Lord laid on their hearts, revealed to them through His Holy Spirit, spoke to them not only through His Word, but made that Word come to life, and then it became revelation. And they received it, applied it, and became that wise builder who dug deep and brought Christ in as the foundation of that part of their life. That's what God is calling us to do in every part of our lives. To be that wise builder who's willing to bring Christ into everything. And as the Holy Spirit speaks, as revelation is poured out, again, this is not something we do on our own timing. You don't just open up the scriptures and start reading them and try and enter and apply everything before God shows it to you. You apply it as the Holy Spirit reveals it. And as He reveals it, if you don't apply it, Jesus says you're like the foolish builder. And when the storms of life come, they're going to knock you over. But if you hear it, you apply it, and you receive it into your heart, you begin becoming that wise builder. So you're going to hear from three people who are going to talk about what God has been doing in certain areas of their lives. So I'm going to get out of the way, and I want you to hear from them, because this is the difference between being the wise builder and the foolish builder.
Good morning. Kenny asked me to speak this week. And I'll have to admit, I thought maybe he had ulterior motives when he first asked me, because I thought maybe he wanted me to empathize with what he does every Sunday. But I said, okay, you know, I don't mind talking a little bit about, you know, my testimony of giving up expectations. But I did struggle with doing this. It is very nerve-wracking to stand up here and talk about myself, because I don't like to talk about myself, and I don't like to be the center of attention. And honestly, I'm still kind of in the middle of this faith journey, so I don't really have something to tell you that's happening as a result, because I don't know yet. But I can definitely attest to what God is teaching me so far. A common rule in our house is when we go to Goodwill, I would tell my kids, the number one rule is no expectations. You can't walk in thinking you're going to find something, because you never know if you will. I mean, I have found $4 Chacos. My dress pants, like the most comfortable pants ever, were only $5. 99-cent Tupperware, it's awesome. But you might walk in and not find anything. And so I tell my kids, it's the thrill of the hunt. It's the thrill of the journey. You just never know what you're going to find. And so it's kind of cute to see them say that back to me when we walk in. But honestly, in my faith journey right now, I feel like I need to take my own advice. But it's really hard. So I've been an educator for almost 14 years. 11 years in the classroom. I love teaching kids. I love being a Christian public school teacher, because I feel like the public school is my mission field, and I've had some great students, great parents, worked with some great people. But I've always known, even from when I first started, that I do eventually want to move as an administrator. I love managing. I love organizing. I love facilitating. I love kind of being the person behind the scenes, but the person in charge. And so 2 years ago, I applied for an instructional coach position, and a lot of people look at me when I tell them that that's what I do, because they don't know. But an instructional coach is a person that works with teachers in the classroom, provides support, just kind of gives them tips and resources, and I thought, this would be great. I can do this behind the scenes. But even though when I applied for the position, I really didn't think I was going to get it. I thought, I don't really care. It'll all work out. So I went to the interview. I thought the interview went terrible, so I didn't expect to get anything, but I did, and so stepped out of my 11 years in the classroom, where I was very comfortable taking this faith journey. Okay, God, I'll try this. I stepped into the role, and I will tell you that for the first last year when I did it, it was awful. I hated it, because I felt like I was on my own all the time. I would offer to help teachers. I would put myself out there uncomfortably, and there would be crickets. Nobody would be open to my help, and no one would want me to help them. And I'm like, I've got so much I can help you with, and nobody would help me out or let me help them. And so that was hard, because I felt like I was constantly being rejected. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try and get myself out of here. I applied for 7 positions this time a year ago. I interviewed for all of them, and they went really well. I even had 2 principals call me and tell me I was their second choice. I'm like, well, in my mind, I'm like your first loser, you know? So I thought, all right, I applied for 1 job, didn't expect to get it, and I did. I applied for 7, thinking surely I'm going to get 1 of them, didn't get anything. So I thought, I guess I'm going to have to stay where I'm at. And so it's been really hard, because, you know, I feel like I'm kind of on this back burner. I kind of felt like I could relate to Joseph in the prison. Like, get me out of here. I want to help other people. I want to feel like I'm being productive. I want to feel like I'm really helping people and nobody's reaching for me at all. But in the midst of this time of where I am, I feel like God has been telling me to just be still. And that is so much easier said than done, because I do not do well at sitting still at all, even at home. Kenny has to tell me to sit down all the time, but I wanted to be out there. I wanted to be engaged in the battle. I wanted to be fighting those fights and doing what I could. But God was definitely teaching me a lot about myself. He's still teaching me about myself. And so definitely, if nothing else, building my confidence. Because even though I knew that I could do it, there's still a part of me that worried, you know, what if I can't? And so that's something else that God has definitely been teaching me, is to stop asking the what-if questions. Because when we have those expectations and we ask those questions, I think sometimes God wants us to just relax. It's all going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. And so it's been good. I've made a lot of connections. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of studying. I don't know if you've read this book by Lisa Turkhurst, Uninvited. She's like my best friend, and she doesn't know it. But she has some great stuff in here. And this time a year ago, when I was going through those 7 job interviews, and I was being rejected by every single one of them, and I wasn't happy with where I was, she had some really good stuff. And I wanted to share with you a couple of things that she wrote that was really good. She says, when my identity is tied to circumstances, I become increasingly secure because circumstances are unpredictable and ever-changing. I feel treasured when complimented, but tormented when criticized, and I'm desperate to keep a relationship that makes me valuable. My fearful mantra is, I must keep things good so that I can be good. The exhausting manipulation and control it takes to protect an identity based on circumstances will crush our hearts and hide the best of who we are behind the wall of insecurity. We must tie our identities to our unchanging, unflinching, unyielding, undeniably good, and unquestionable love of God. And she asks these 3 questions, which I felt like I was really clinging to when I had this expectation of what I wanted and it wasn't happening. She has 3 core questions. Is God good? Is God good to me? And do I trust God to be God? Wrestle well with these questions using truth, and you will start to sense that those new and more stable boards are holding you up. When we go to the truth instead of our feelings for the answer to this question, we understand that God's goodness in a whole new light. And I think that's something that I really struggled with was sometimes I don't feel like I have a faith, but do I have a faith if I don't feel it? And I definitely had to hold on to the truths that I knew. She also says, God is good, his plans are good, his requirements are good, his salvation is good, his grace is good, his forgiveness is good, his restoration is good, and that's what I believe about God, that God is good. And one more thing she writes is, will I trust to see that God knows the things that I don't? Will I trust him when I don't understand, when circumstances are hard, when people betray and reject me, when my heart gets broken? If God is good and God is good to me, then I must fill in the gaps of all the unknowns of my life with a resounding statement of trust that God is good at being God. I don't have to figure out my present circumstances. I don't have to fill the silence behind in someone else. I don't have to have all the whys and the what ifs. All I have to do is trust. So in quiet humility and without a personal agenda, I make the decision to let God sort it all out. I sit quietly in his presence and simply say, God, I want your truth to be the loudest voice in my life. Correct me, comfort me, come closer still, and I will trust, God, that you are good at being God. And so I say that I don't know the end of my journey because I feel like I'm still in this position that I'm not sure where I'm going to go. And I think one of the hardest things for me is that, you know, there were times that I would reach out to people and no one would reach out for me to help them. I'd ask teachers, could I help you? I would feel like I was like bribing them with candy and they still weren't reaching out. It was so hard. And as a matter of fact, one of the schools that I was helping, because I go to all schools, is they pretty much slammed the door in my face. It was very hard. But, you know, God is good at being God because the room that I would sit in the last year, there was like a little hole in the wall room, just kind of sit there waiting for folks to reach out, has now been converted to an office for me next year because I am going to be an assistant principal. So I'm so excited because God has just opened that door and it's really wonderful. So I just wanted to share that sometimes, you know, God doesn't take us from point A to point B in a straight line. I think sometimes we have to take this journey to get us to where we're ready and we're prepared and what he has for us is ready. And so I'm very excited. But I still feel like I'm clinging on to that message I tell my kids when we go to Goodwill, that just have no expectations, just, you know, have the thrill of the hunt. And I feel like I'm just still a work in progress in the middle of it all. So it's pretty neat to see how God's working everything out. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, let me start by sharing a good, wise friend sitting down here in the front row told me a couple years ago. He said, Tim, he said, we know the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he doesn't always do it during the bad times. He says, the devil's at his best during the good times. And Greg, that came to be true this week. Because the devil knew I was going to do this. And Tuesday night, I walked into the room wrapped in blankets and my body was shaking. And Lori said, it's 77 degrees in here. And I felt like I was in an ice storm. And all week long, I struggled and I fought. And that's why when you saw me toss some Starburst to Shane this morning, that wasn't just for the kids. That was for Shane because I was supposed to do the children's message this morning. And I didn't think that God said, you know what, give your testimony, but let somebody else be blessed with doing the children's sermon. So I want to thank Shane for that and Gail for coordinating that. But, okay. Michael, I might need you to tell me I'm ugly here in a minute, so. I was up this morning, and all week long, I was kind of going through some scriptures, and God told me to lay his book down. He said, just speak from your heart, brother. And that's what I taught you to do. So, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was going through Kenny, and a lot of you, I think I shared it with you, I was going through a real extreme struggle with my job. And I mean, so bad that I got up sick in the bathroom in the morning because I didn't want to go to work. And we were over at my mother and father-in-law's one night, and it's bad enough when your mom calls you into the office. You know, it's bad, but you know it's mom. She's going to get on me for something. But when your mother-in-law calls you into the office, Lord help me. And most of y'all know Carol Sanford, the dear sweet lady that she was, but she could also be stern. And she sat me down and she said, have you given up control? And I said, what do you mean? She said, have you given it to God? And I said, yeah, I've talked to God. She said, I ain't talking about talking to God. Have you given it to God? Have you laid down the burden and given it to the Lord? She said, when you go home tonight, I want you to do that. So I got up that next morning, and I knelt at the back of the bed. And Third Day has a song called Cry Out to Jesus. Well, for one of the first times in my life, I cried out to Jesus. And I said, Lord, I'm not getting up until you've answered this, until you've given me something. And I felt that he did, and I got up. And I'm still with Pepsi, and I think my wife would tell you I'm a whole lot better husband than I was back in them days. So, you know, and God did that, I believe, all leading up to this. About 3 years later, I go in for a colonoscopy, and we come out of the room, and my wife had been through this many times. So I think she knew when he called us into the office that something wasn't right, that he didn't just come right to the bed, the doctor. So he comes in and he tells us there's this mass and there's this problem. And it never clicked with me. You know, bless my wife's heart. She had been through this for 22 years with her mom. You know, and before I go any further, I want to say one thing too. I said, you know, Carol Sanford, people might say that cancer took her life. No, I like to look at it this way. She defeated cancer for 22 years. Amen? And so it really didn't hit me, you know. Lori was upset and she was crying, and I guess maybe I was trying to tune it out that, you know, it wasn't cancer, that, you know, other people get that. I'm not going to get it. So a few weeks later, we were in the office. And Lori asked the doctor, she says, what stage is it? And I said, what do you mean, what stage is it? And he said, it's stage 3. And I thought, wait a minute, what happened to stage 1 and stage 2? I said, you know, Dr. Thomas took this thing out. I'm done. You know, it's over with. This thing's over with. And she said, what are the chances of it coming back? And he said, 50-50. And for the first time in my life, I felt cancer. And I thought, wait a minute, this is real. This is real. And at that moment, I heard my sweet mother-in-law whisper in my ear, "You know what you got to do. Don't you dare let the devil steal that joy." And so the next morning, the Bible tells us, lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. And I got down before the cross. And I cried out to Jesus. And I said, "Lord, I can't take this on myself." And he said, "You're not alone. I told you I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Just leave it here at the cross. Leave it at my feet." And I did. I left it there. And are there times in my life where I'm shaking like a leaf? Every 6 months when I go in for my CAT scans, I play a song by Rich Mullins that says, "Hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?" But I'm here to tell you that God has, it's amazing how he can take something devastating like that and change your life around. I've had a bond of friendship with my pastor over here and a friend of mine that had major brain surgery, Chris Elder. And, you know, I had a relationship with my pastor, and I knew Chris, but not like I know him now. God has formed a bond there that I think the three of us, you know, I think it's easier for women. I think you form these relationships, and you're able to share things, but it's harder for males. But I feel like Kenny and Chris and I have that bond of friendship now, and I feel like I can share things. There's a group of elders that I serve with that I feel the same way about. A couple months ago, the devil tried to steal my joy again, and I was having the three symptoms that my cancer doctor told me, if you ever have these three symptoms, I want you to call me immediately. But you know what? I called on God first. And I said, "God, I gave this burden to you. And I know you're going to take care of it." And Kenny anointed me with oil, and the elders of this church laid hands on me. And that was about 3 months ago, and not one of them symptoms have come back. They were gone the next morning, and they haven't come back. So the world would probably say that's just coincidence. But I say it's God. So I say this to you all, that don't just, for years, I talked to God, and I prayed to God. But it's something different when you really cry out to God and when you give up that control and say, "God, I'm leaving it right here at the foot of that cross." It's an amazing thing that God will do, that he'll transform your life. I know Christian music has had a huge impact on my life. That's pretty much all I listen to now. And one of my favorite groups, Casting Crowns, has a song that says, "Your world's not falling apart, it's fallen into place." So I share this with you to say, no matter what you're going through, no matter what burden you're carrying, take it to the cross. Give it to Jesus. Because he has blessed me in so many ways. I wake up every day and I could say, you know, I've got a 50-50 chance of my cancer coming back, but no. I wake up and I thank Jesus for another day. And he's blessed me in something. In this church, I thank all of you, the love and support of this church, my wife. How awesome is it that every day that I walk out that door, my wife is in prayer for me. She tells me every morning as I walk out the front door, she's praying for me. I think any husband or wife here could say there wouldn't be a better feeling in the world to know that your spouse is in prayer as you're walking out the door and getting in your car. So I hope that when the devil comes to steal your joy, that you'll say, uh-uh. Be reminded of my sweet mother-in-law and let her whisper in your ear, take it to Jesus. Don't let the devil steal your joy. So God bless you and thank you.
We heard some powerful testimony this morning. My name is Pat Severs. For those of you that don't know me, I think most of you do, but I'm an ordained elder here in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'm a husband, a father, and I've been a professional musician and worked in the music and entertainment business here in Nashville since 1976. But first and foremost, I'm a servant of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to stop there. I'm working on a promotion right now. I'm working on a promotion to full-on slave for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that might sound strange to those of you that might not know the Lord, but I know that most of you out there do, and so I know that sounds perfectly reasonable to you. And to get that promotion, I've had to learn to give up a few things. We've heard Tim speak about giving up control and Missy talk about giving up expectations. And for me, in the life's work that I've done, the business I've been in, I've had to learn to give up popularity, which Kenny spoke about a few weeks ago, and also comfort, the comforts of the world. And these are tough to give up. You know, I've always worked in this business where popularity is important. If you're going to be successful in the business I chose to be in, you do have to be popular. It goes along with it. And, you know, that always kind of came easy for me early in my life. You know, when I was in high school and college, I was playing in a popular rock and roll band, and, everybody thought we were pretty cool. And I was also, not just given the gift of that talent to do that by the Lord, but I was also given wonderful parents, a mother and a father, that taught me respect for other people, how to understand people, how to get along with people, and still not compromise your values. And that helped a lot, too. That was a basic building block for me as far as popularity. And so I went on to enjoy some success. Moved to Nashville, Tennessee in 1976 and enjoyed a considerable amount of success in this business. And along with that success and popularity came comforts of the world. And it's pretty easy to get comfortable in that, to get comfortable in the things of the world. And so many times, in fact, not so many times, all the time, you get too comfortable with the success that the world gives you, and it draws you away from the one who gives the success, the giver of all success. And that's happened to me so many times that, you know, I would get to the point where I would worship the creation and not worship the Creator. And that would manifest itself in a lot of different ways. And I can tell you one story that happened it's been a little over a year ago, I guess. It was after Clemson University defeated the University of Alabama for the national championship. And I know, is Chris Elder here? I know he's probably still not over that. But it did happen. Clemson University did defeat Alabama. And I was at a recording session the next day. And it was a topic of conversation there, and one person remarked about how wonderful it was that Dabo Swinney, the Clemson coach, gave the glory to God for the victory. And then another guy spoke up and said, well, you know, I don't know about that. I don't think God cares who won that football game. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, in my heart, in my mind, I know that that's not true. God did care very much who won that football game. We're talking about the God that created the heavens, the earths, everything. He created like the little leaf on the clover that you see on the ground, and he created the tallest mountain. We're talking about the God that has every hair on your head numbered. That's the God we're talking about. Of course he cares who won that football game. He cares about the impact it was going to have on each and every player, each and every coach, each and every fan. He cares about everything. That's the God that we worship. And when we get comfortable in the world, We neglect that, and we neglect to tell people about that. We neglect to share. You know, when I got home later that day, you know, I did that thing that that I know a lot of us do, where you know I'm praying, I'm talking to God, I'm thinking, God, I had that opportunity right there. There it was. You know, it's like being a baseball player and you're up to bat, and the pitcher gives you like this hanging curveball, and you don't swing the bat; it just goes by you. And that's what that felt like to me. And that's what happens when you get too comfortable. You know, God's word tells us a lot about comfort and where we should take our comfort. And I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you. The first one being Acts in the 9th chapter, in the 31st verse. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let me read that again. In the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And that's what God laid on my heart when Kenny asked me to speak to you about giving up popularity and giving up comfort. Is, you know, you might give up one kind of comfort, but God is the provider of comfort. And in 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God." And then my favorite, by far, is in the first chapter, in 1 John, in chapter 2. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who loves the will of God abides forever." And isn't that also about the Easter message too? Through the risen Christ, through his death on the cross, we're going to live forever. Isn't that amazing? We're going to live forever with him. And if that's not the most comfortable thing you can think of, I don't know what else I can share with you. But praise God for that. Will you pray with me? Father, just as Brother Paul said in his opening prayer this morning, first of all, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for Missy and Tim and the wonderful message they shared with all of us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this world, too. We thank you for the creation. We thank you for the comforts that we enjoy by living here in the United States of America. You know, and for us mortals here on earth, that would almost seem to be enough. But Lord, you didn't stop there. You went on to send your Son, Jesus, to be with us, to teach us, to love us, and then to die on the cross for us, to take away all of our sins, so that we might share eternal life with you and with our loved ones. So Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. And Lord, if there's just one person in here this morning that doesn't know you, that doesn't know you through your Son, Lord, we pray that that something that was said here this morning would touch their hearts and that they would accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior and enjoy the true comfort that that brings. Lord, we ask all these things and we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
As Michael gets ready to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you, if God has stirred anything in your heart, as if he has laid something upon your heart, now is your opportunity to respond in faith. You know, there was something rather remarkable that Pat Seaver said there at the end. He said, you know, whenever you give something up of the world, God gives you something much better. So no matter what God is calling you to give up, Just realize that he's asking you to give up the substitute that the world's trying to offer you for the best that God has ready to give you. Whether it's expectations, whether it's control, whether it's even giving up your enemies, all the giving up death, all the things we've spoken over about in these last 7 weeks. Giving them up always will lead you to something better that God has in store. So I invite you, come as the Holy Spirit leads you, and let's worship the Lord together through this closing hymn.